Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ah yes, here we go for the next hour, the kind of hour of radio that you just, you know, you don't get back, but you don't want to miss it. That's the whole thing. Buzzers in the house for Gloves Off for the next hour right here on SEN. Hello, mate. Great
good
to see you.
Good morning to you, Maddie. Good morning to everyone that's listening as well. And please excuse my, you could probably say extra exuberance this morning because I've had maybe one too many coffees because I have been up since 2:30 for the amazing Champions League. Now, before I start, I just want to say on behalf of everyone I know in football, just want to send our deepest sympathies and condolences to the families of those who lost their life on the weekend, and you will never be forgotten. So we're all with you, and also our thoughts go out to the people who are injured as well in Wakeley Fairfield during that attack as well. Just to let everyone know that the people of Sydney especially are all behind you, and people that have got in contact with me from around the world.
Yeah, well said, mate. And like I said at the very start of this week, when all of this unfolded. I mean, we sit here and talk sport for the next hour. We're going to talk football and we're going to have a lot of fun along the way. But we also have, off the back of things like that, I think some incredible perspective as well. And I know that...
I heard you say that. That was very well said.
Well, yep. I know that our listeners also feel the same. So well said to you. It's good to see you, mate.
Great to see you too.
At any stage today, are you planning to take off the makeup that you've had on this morning? Or are you just going to get around Sydney just looking fresh?
So everybody knows as well, my young boy attends an academy, Airlie Football Academy, which is from the eastern suburbs. And they had what was called the IFA, so International Football Academy's Nationals, tournaments where they play against each other under eights. Under, he's only seven, they asked him to play. Eights, tens, I think 12s, 14s, out at Rudy Hill on Eastern Road where the Western Sydney Wanderers training ground is. So they've been playing the last 4 days. So I had to go rush this morning. They had their last two games this morning. Rushed over there. It's really good. So good to see so many young boys and girls with smiles on their faces. They wanted me to give a closing speech, which I would have done. I was going to give them a bit of feedback too, which I might just say... Look, just a quick one. Everything was absolutely fantastically organized, fantastically run. In terms of the playing side, just two things. Number one, it's up to all the academy heads, okay? It wasn't all the teams that would do it, but to educate the kids about tackles because you don't want to send your kid to a place where it can be dangerous. Sometimes I think they get a little bit excited, which goes on to point two. With the parents, I'm a parent. And understandably so, my dad told me to shut up yesterday, right? So, like you said, really? So, I can understand the passion and so forth, but I think sometimes that translates to the kids, which then leads to some tackles which are a little bit dangerous. We have sports that are a little bit more physical, as we know, in terms of rugby league, rugby union, AFL. If that's what your thing is, no problem whatsoever, but it's not for football, that's all. So, but other than that, some of the standard, and I know what John Barnes, the ex-Liverpool and England player, told me when he came here 4 years ago. He said, Boz, I'm not just saying this to you, but your girls and boys are as good as anywhere around the world up until age 14. He's right. Wow. So I'm really, really good. Really enjoyed it. So I kept my makeup on because I didn't have time to take it off. So I've come all the way back listening to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the motorway. Luckily, I missed that tunnel closure because I actually went through Epping on the way out there. But on the way back, it was about a 15-kilometer tailback. So on the way back, I just come down the normal way, the M4 and all that. So there you go.
Well, you're looking fresh. You're looking very
fresh.
There's a lot for us to talk about. Obviously, UEFA Champions League and where that's at the moment as we head to the semi-finals. Ollie Roos, we've got Canberra United and the Women's A-League situation there with some funding from the ACT government, the Wrexham story. Your texts on 0457 736 736. Your calls if you want to speak to the great man on 1300 01 1170 and extravagant purchases as well. So why don't we just start with this?
Right.
Because I know I know we want to know, right? Pep Guardiola photographed and goes to the press conference with his watch.
So we should.
Yeah.
So we should.
I'm a watch guy. I'm certainly not in Pep's world.
Doesn't matter.
It's a $1.6 million watch. There's only 50 of them ever made. Apparently, the weight of the watch is equal to, so the lightest that they can make is equal to four pieces of paper.
Wow.
That's it.
I thought you were going to say like heavy, but no, light as.
The other way. See, I like a heavy watch.
Yeah.
But so,
fully deserved.
I don't know
and
how
I'd
much.
I'd be very, very surprised knowing the football world as I did that he paid full price.
He paid
for
it. Right.
Because, I mean, you told me about a couple of weeks ago about product placement when you're talking about deals. And so, I mean, what a product placement that is.
Yeah.
You got the most watched sporting club competition in the world. And all of a sudden you got your watch there. Because I didn't even know about that watch until I saw it on him. And good luck to him as well.
Yeah.
He'll be very down this morning after their defeat on penalties. He fully deserves because not only what he's done in terms of what he's won. Now, a lot of people will say, look, he has been at big clubs. Yeah, but at big clubs, as in any sport, comes different pressures, right? The pressure is to win or else you're gone. And he's also reinvented something in our game, which very few managers ever in our history have done, a way of playing. Coming back to what I was saying to you before, see, we've had teams in the past, say, those who are old enough to remember the 1982 Brazilian team who played wonderful football, got knocked out by Italy, who went on to win the World Cup. Generally, people take trends off the most successful teams. He played attractive football and won. And hence, this is why you got this explosion over the last 15 years of teams playing attractive football, which is effective as well. So he deserves that. He'll be feeling down this morning. You know, he might... I'm trying to think of what that film was called, but there was a film called When Denzel Washington Played That... the gangster in New York, and he went to a boxing match in this... in a really flashy, it was like a fur outfit.
Right.
And then he saw his photo in the newspaper and he went home and burnt it. I think after losing this morning, he's not burning the watch. He might chuck it out the window.
He's not burning the watch. So, extravagant purchases.
Oh, okay.
Extravagant purchases. You're a superstar.
Okay. And it's true. You could pretty much, afford, you know, what you want at that time. I always promised myself I'd buy a brand new car when I won my first major trophy. So at 22, 1994, we at Aston Villa beat Manchester United in the League Cup final, first major trophy. So I went and bought myself that week a brand new BMW. So there you go. That was, I'm not a very good car person. They had this one that was like a really low down, like a sort of, you know, like a race car type of thing. I think it was an M3. Somebody who knows cars would be able to tell me. So that's the probably most extravagant off the cuff that I've went and done. But other than that, I was relatively sensible. I didn't buy properties and things like that. And I was relatively sensible.
What about players around you? Were there some that couldn't help themselves?
Well, some people like to have collections. You know, watches, that was another thing. I did like my watches, but not to that point of sort of ridiculous.
Not to Pep style.
No. So Dwight York, who's actually in town now, if he's listening, a big shout out to him. He liked his cars. So you would go to his place and there would be four or five cars parked out, you know, there. Because then I used to say to him, I said, buddy, like, you know, he used to go, what do you reckon? I said, listen, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
If I came here and you had zero cars and you couldn't afford to have clothes, I still like you as a person. I said, but, you know, if that's what your thing is, that's what your thing is, you know? And I said, but just remember this, you can't take your car inside the nightclub, you know, because obviously when you're that age, you know, you sort of, you know.
Where he spent most of his time.
Yeah, well, no, I had a word to him about this the other morning at breakfast. And I think he's realizing now that reputation that garnered around him sometimes it's proving a little bit to his detriment.
Yeah.
He never would have achieved what he did in his career if he spent his majority of time there. But I think the thing was when him and I said, when we came down here during the winter, during the footballing summer, so I said to somebody the other day, you saw us in holiday mode. So you probably thought, well, this is what they do every week. No.
Right.
This is what we do for 2 weeks out of 52. That's it. Yeah. So there you go. I'm trying to think.
All night Dwight. Yeah.
Do you know how you mentioned
watches? When Dwight came in back in the day at Sports World.
Yes.
Myself and Joe Griggs, right? And we're sitting there.
So it'll be in 2005?
Yeah, around there. And we were filming it out at Martin Place. And I remember I remember he came in and he had this massive watch. Mm. Like, mate, it was, and it kept, I'll bring my microphone down. So every time he moved his hand, like it was doing that on the desk, right? To the point where it was starting to interfere with the sound of the interview.
Yeah.
He won't remember it, but I remember it. We're like, mate, that watch is just driving us crazy. 0457 736 736. So Champions League this morning, really interesting. You just touched on one of the results there. So we now have the semi-finals locked in. So Bayern against Real Madrid will be first up, and Dortmund against PSG. So your takeaways from this morning?
Oh, well, not a good morning for the English clubs. But you have to say, just like for yesterday as well, congratulations to PSG. Game turned in that game against Barcelona on the Araujo send-off, which was a send-off. There's no doubt about that. I know Xavi's got his opinion on it, the Barcelona coach, but he deserved to get sent off. and it was a penalty against Cancelo as well. Borussia Dortmund, who I told you a couple of weeks ago, you know, Borussia Dortmund let go of Jude Bellingham, you know, arguably one of the best players in the world for over 100 million euros at the start of the season. There were calls around October for their manager, Eddie Terzic, for his head because he wasn't travelling. So they're still fifth, equal fifth, like just on goal difference in the Bundesliga. And they got in a group with AC Milan, Newcastle, PSG. No one gave him a chance. And now they're into the semi-finals. Amazing 4-2 win against Atletico Madrid this morning. Different. Remember last week I said to you, just amazing quality and entertainment.
Yeah.
It wasn't the same quality in the way it was last week in entertainment, but it was just so tense. Bayern disposed of Arsenal. I told you that but there's no way Arsenal was going to beat them there. The only chance was to go to penalties. And in this other game, Real Madrid came up with a way to win, as they do in this competition. They defended stoutly. They scored a goal on the break. Manchester City in the second half especially created chance after chance after chance. Kevin De Bruyne missed an absolute, you could say, open goal. This is a good thing for all the youngsters as well before they get up. Kevin De Bruyne is one of the greatest players that has been. He missed an open goal from about 10 metres, albeit with his left foot, but he missed it. And then it went to the penalty shootout. And it's amazing because, you know, 60% of teams, so two-thirds, there were just under two-thirds, Matty, who take the first penalty in a shootout statistically win.
Right, so two-thirds.
60%.
Thereabouts.
There you go. So when you see a team win, so Man City win the toss. Yeah, they take the first penalty. Anyway, they score the first penalty. Luka Modric, Croatian legend, right, has a first penalty for Real Madrid, misses, has it saved by Edison. So then you've got Bernardo Silva, another fantastic play, because if you go two ahead in a shootout, it's very rare that you lose. He goes to hit one down the middle. The goalkeeper, Lunin, just stands there and catches it.
Oh, didn't move.
Yeah, didn't move, just stood there and caught it. So then Bellingham scores. And then it goes back the other way. Anyway, it's Rudiger to score, who'd missed an absolute sitter during the game, but he's a defender. But you know what? He marked Haaland again out of the game completely. Haaland actually came off at the end of normal time because of how well he did. Superb penalty. Yeah, and I remember Frank Lampard telling me about him when he was at Chelsea. He's a mentality monster, I used to say. Superb penalty right in the bottom corner. And Real Madrid are through to, I'll have a look in a bit to see what the stat is, but something ridiculous.
Yeah.
Because this is their 39th, I think, quarterfinal. And through to semifinals against Bayern Munich. Huge. Harry Kane. A lot of people, you know, making fun of him, saying he went to Spurs to win trophies. You know, they've won 11 straight. You've come. They didn't win the title by Leverkusen on. But they're there. So, first game is in Munich and first game is in Dortmund as well. Yeah,
yes.
Unless UEFA change that around because they don't want all those supporters in Germany at the same time. But that's what has come up for me.
And that's Tuesday week.
Correct.
Tuesday week.
In 2 weeks' time. Yeah, 2 weeks' time.
All right. So do you think that we've come down to the final four that you would have expected?
No. Manchester City, I definitely expected. I expected Manchester City to win it. That was my tip. I thought they would retain the title. So, like I said, kudos, because this was like a trilogy of the Ali Fraser type, for those old enough to remember that. So, again, yeah, I said it was a different type of tension and different type of game. But and this is what I say to a lot of people I talk to in football over here. Sometimes you've got to be honest enough to hold your hand up and say, listen, if we play a certain way against Manchester City, they're going to wallop us. We're not as good. Just be honest. What you can, what you can't do. Okay? Mm-hmm. Jack Sparrow, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yep.
We can't play that style of football because they'll beat us. So we're going to have to do something a little bit different. And they did. They just defended like outstandingly well. They had two flying machines in Rodrigo and Vinicius Jr. up front. And they got the goal. They had something to protect. And overall, like I said, they'll turn around and they'll look back at it and they'll say, we've got through and they've got a chance now to get to the final to add to their 14 previous titles. So amazing. Well done.
Crazy. Jonathan from Quakers Hill on the text line says, just want to give a rap to Bozza. Ran into him earlier this week at the IFA Cup. Even though you had a game to get to, you still made time to say hi and take a photo for the kids and I. Thanks again, mate. Don't
Pleasure.
Think I've stopped smiling since and have told anyone who listened you're a legend. Thank you for that, Jonathan.
Pleasure.
And always good that we can pass that on firsthand. We will take our first break, 17 and a half minutes after 11 right here on Gloves Off with Bozzy. Got a question for the big fella. Join the conversation. The Ollie Roos, of course, some Women's A-League to talk about and your texts and calls as well. Okay, text messages coming through. H from Burley says, and I was going to ask you this question, what happens to the kids in Australia in football after the age of 14? Different sports have different ages where they get that tipping point where kids go one way or the other.
Well, I truly think the opportunities completely dry up and then they have experiences. There's too many experiences that I've been hearing about which it completely turns them off the game. You know, because it's such a shame because, you know, the people that were there, they were from South Australia, they were from Canberra, they're from Queensland, Victoria, all over Australia. I think, you know, no disrespect, there was more people there than at some A-League games. Seriously, there was, right? And I must have asked everyone that I spoke to, do you go to A-League games? And I would say out of, say, the 50 people I asked, I'd say 48 said no.
Ooh.
So, and I said, why? And I don't want to hear, we've only got another, like, you know, 35 minutes. And then, and as everyone knows, I talk for fun anyway, especially you. So I don't want to waste everyone's time. But you can imagine I turn around and said, anyway, number one person, I've got the notes you'd be doing, you're shaking it. Anyway, so, you know, my dream is, number one, to get to the bottom of it. But number two, to go to these places. Like, you know, even when I take my son to an academy on a Friday night, I said to the parents the other week, you know, we should all be saying, are you going to Sydney FC tonight? Or are you going to Western Sydney Wanderers tonight?
Yeah.
But they're not.
It should
they're
be not. The they're natural not. Progression.
We're not. I mean, well, ask me where I'm going Friday.
Where are you going Friday, boss?
To go see Parramatta versus the Dolphins. No problem. I'm not saying it's like it's sort of like hearsay or what, you know, hearsay or whatever how you pronounce it. It's not a problem, but it really, let's be frank. It shouldn't be, should it? We should be looking forward to. So, I would say the most popular excuse was we don't feel part of it.
Right.
All right. So I used to think to myself, well, you know, because I grew up like that over in England specifically, that you know, if the football's good, the quality of the football is actually okay. I'm not saying it's the best thing in the world, but it's okay. But I used to think, yeah, if you get that completely right, it'll take care of itself. But obviously not, because feeling part of something is a little bit different than just going somewhere and watching any event and being entertained, right? Yeah.
Mm. Extravagant purchases. Tony says, Alan Bond, Channel 9. And also falls into the category of extravagant losses.
Well, I was going to say, right, what did the late Kerry Packer used to say?
You only get one Alan Bond in your lifetime. And boy, did he cash in on that one. When we were talking before about goalkeeping, and any time you're talking about goalkeeping...
You stop.
Oh, mate, because I want to know. So if you're a goalkeeper
in the penalty shootout,
and your options are to stay, move. Mm. And then with the move options... Left, right, up, down, so whichever way. So how did you break it down? What were the signs that you were looking for?
All right, let's keep this as quick as possible and as understandable and simple as possible. First of all, key word you just said at the end, break it down. Has anyone ever had one of those, you know, proper long lens cameras in their hand? You know when you keep your finger down and it goes... That's what you got to do in your mind first.
That's how you're seeing the kicker.
Yes, right? Second thing, non-kicking foot. Generally, the non-kicking foot, the direction of it, where it's pointed... means where the ball is going to go. Only things that can change that is the trajectory of the run. If it's a straight run, so if it's a right footer running straight at the ball, normally it follows that trajectory. If he takes a curve run, normally he swings it, it curves that way. So those are the three things you look for. But always remember, you look for all those things, the kicker can still miss kick it and it can go in as well. Yeah. But those are the things that can, you can't have a foolproof way, but you can lower the odds.
So how did you manage to put all of that thought process, so you're looking at the non-kicking foot, you're looking at the angle of the run, you're obviously thinking about who's in front of you because the person in front of you is key to all of this. There are other factors, but there's no time, mate.
No.
This is all zero timing.
So I was very fortunate to have a coach called Ron Corrie, who used to play for Australia. Tremendous trainer. The best trainer I've had anywhere in the world, okay? So he used to break it down. First and foremost, we'd take some penalties. Then he turn around and pick one of those things and say, right now, I just want you to slow down and wait till that final non-kicking foot goes down. So you practice that. You maybe do 100 of them. Then I want you also, on top of that, to watch the course. Very similar to what you do like in terms of school and learning. I want you to learn chapter one. Okay.
Yep.
Now I want you to go to chapter two. Now remember what you learned in chapter one? I want you to add that in with chapter one, two, and three. Okay. So all those things I basically said to you. Non-kicking foot, distance away from the ball as well. Okay, but that comes under the non-kicking foot. If the non-kicking foot is right close to the ball, it's not going to go across that non-kicking foot. If there's a space between the non-kicking foot and the ball, and he's come on that curve run, generally they're going to go with that curve. So it's going to go that way. If it's straight next to it in a straight run, generally it's going to go to the right. Off the right foot or goalkeeper's left.
Yeah.
So then you just do step by step. And then he used to let you go. And say, right, we're going to do 20 penalties today. Let's see. That's all.
Okay.
That's all.
So building blocks and muscle memory over and over and over, which is really extraordinary. 1300 01 1170 is my open line number. The Ollie Roos the Indonesia. It's a late one tonight.
I think it's Indonesia, isn't it? Yeah. They drew 0-0. So remember what we said in terms of Nestor Iacunda? We said that at the end, I said at the end to my ex-teammate who's in charge, Tony Vidmar, look, regardless of everyone's opinion, you are the manager. You've made the selections. I respect that. But if you do not qualify because basically you don't score enough goals and that's 0-0, prepare for the storm. Well, so far, 0-0. So we'll see. Hopefully, they can beat Indonesia. Remember, two teams go through from each group. There'll be quarterfinals. There'll be a team that will go through from each group. Quarterfinals, semifinals. If you get in the top three, i.e., even if you lose your semifinal, but you win the third. You lose your semifinal, but you win the third and fourth playoff. You go through automatically with the second and first team. The fourth team will play Guinea in a playoff from Africa.
Right. Okay. So Indonesia tonight. And then Monday, it will be Qatar.
Correct.
After a nil-all draw with Jordan. So we'll see how that one plays out. Yep. Plenty of questions backing up here on the text line. So what we'll do is we'll head to the 11:30 news. We'll come back and we'll hit your text questions for Bozza. This is Gloves Off with Bozza right across the SEN network. Okay, let's get to your text messages. Kane, thank you for yours. I know that you said you didn't ask Bozza my question another week. Believe me, there are millions of them here. But Kane wants to know, can I ask the Boz, what's happening at Hajduk and what do we need?
A Hajduk in Croatia or Hajduk here in Sydney? I think he means Hajduk in Croatia.
Yes.
They were at one stage top of the table. They had a bad week. They lost to their biggest rivals, Dinamo Zagreb, in the league. They got knocked out of the Croatian Cup in the same week as well. And I think last week it was they lost to the top team now, which is who's at the top, which is Rijeka. So what do they need? They need an infusion of the type of passion that brought them to the forefront of pretty much everyone in the Dalmatian region of Croatia in the past. That's what they need. It's easy said than done. Dinamo Zagreb, because they've qualified so many times for the Champions League, and for European football in general, they've got a massive resource, financially especially, advantage. But they need to look to, you know, always, I said, when things are going wrong, whether it be any sport, you look to the youngsters. Go have a look to the youngsters. Start getting young players, not just from Croatia, but from all around the world. Because there are plenty in the Croatian diaspora as well who are very, very talented. But not just Croatia. Don't just limit to yourself to that. Go everywhere and try to get the best youngsters. You can't lose. You get the best youngsters, you can eventually sell them on. Look at Luka Modric. But the funny thing is, Luka Modric was rejected by Hajduk, but it's not maybe a good example. But you know what I'm saying? He came through that youth system.
So which way
he got loaned out when he was young to a play. I think it was Rinski Mostar. You know, then he went. You know, went back to Dinamo Zagreb. He got sold then to Spurs, and the rest is history. There you go.
Paramat says, brilliant summation, mate, on that penalty shootout situation.
Thank
I was
you.
Told playing touch football and the same applies to rugby league. Watch the dummy half at the play the ball. Mm. Their feet tell you which way they're intending to pass the ball and play.
Yep.
Occasionally, less than 5% of players are able to counter that. Paramat. So I'm with you, Paramat. I was fascinated in that. What's really spinning me out is how little time you have to make that decision.
Well, what was the first thing I said to you? Because you said breakdown. Remember the camera?
Correct. But you still got to put all those shutters into one piece. Because
it'd be amazing if you practice it enough.
Yeah.
How it would come. Just like anything. Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I'd have known that when I was.
We're both goalies. I know you're not good at compliments, but you're getting better. What do you do every day?
One goalie.
What do you do every
in
day
in this room? I. You know what I do? I facilitate our beautiful audience here
who want
to speak to you.
All
so
right.
Let me get on with that.
I'm going to say this to you. No, go on then.
I'm going to say this to you. So I was a goalie in water polo, right? Yep. That was my chosen position.
Hard sport, water polo.
Which is a hard sport.
Very hard sport.
But I'm sitting here telling you, man, I wish I had that thought process back then.
I was lucky. And also I had a father who used to talk about anticipation, who played football.
Yeah.
Okay, he played outfield, and I wasn't. I tell everyone I was good enough to play outfield, but what happened was there was no one in goals, but it was actually the opposite. And he always had that because he could read the game very, very well. So you pass that on, but then you have someone like Ron Corrie tell you what you told you. Now, coming back to you, just a quick one. What do you do every day? I'll put it in this way so it's not too.
Well,
all right, okay. And what did you say before I come on air? I heard about the ratings.
Our ratings have gone up here at SEN.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well,
which
there you
is
go.
Great.
Yeah.
Across the board.
Well, there you go.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. Right. Well, when something goes it's like a points total, right, in rugby league, yeah?
You're a good
So
man.
The last three games, which points titles have gone up, would you say, most in rugby league? Which team?
Who's that? What's this?
In the rugby, the NRL. Which team has, in the last three games, their points total's gone up? Which team?
Well, what? On the points on the ladder?
Yeah. I mean, pick one. Pick one. Who's score? Been doing well the last three games?
Sharks are sitting on top. But
well, there
the,
you go.
Yeah, okay.
All right.
I get your point.
So, you know, my point is, right, so they're doing okay, aren't they? Yeah?
Yeah.
Or would you rather be the Rabbits?
We're doing okay. You came in before, while we're spitballing weirdness, you came in before and you did your little social media plug.
Always.
And you said, and here's Maddie getting ready. G'day, sweetie. And I went, what?
I saw it on the text. Apparently that's what your missus calls you.
So Matt Marvelous. On the text says, Maddie, we now know that your missus calls you sweetie. New nickname, me thinks. It's one of many names that I get called. Okay, here we go. Let's get into these texts. Boz, go help ahead. Me out with this one, says Nathan. I'm go not ahead. A massive soccer fan. Part of the reason is this. I can't understand how we're talking about Australia only maybe beating Indonesia and Qatar in soccer. Hmm. That seems outrageous. It is the most played game in Australia. And are we competing against countries that have absolutely no one in it? Please help me out.
Well, I first and foremost, you can't say Indonesia's got no one in it. It's one of the biggest, I think it's the fifth biggest populated country in the world. But what I will say is this, if you don't improve, and that's in anything in life, if you stay still and other places improve, you end up going, I wouldn't say backwards, but you end up going down. I haven't seen a great deal of progression in terms of football, in terms of, you know, in terms of what we spoke about before. In fact, in terms of the domestic game, especially the last 3 years, I've seen a significant drop. Players are coming through, though. There are remnants of things that I saw when I first came in 2008, which are very good. But the most important thing to this, to answer the text, is countries like Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia, like, you know, Qatar, UAE, I mean, the list goes on. They are pouring a lot of, not just money, people get just confused about the, like, focus on the main resources. And what I mean about that, man and women power, you know, intellectual minds, to make sure that they become as good as they possibly can. And it is highly competitive. 211 nations, more nations that are in the United Nations are members of FIFA. 211 nations around the world play football. It is the most competitive sport that there is on the planet. So we've just got to keep it up. And keep it up and keep it up. Because at the moment, like I said, for me, we're pretty much staying still, staying level. And then the more we do that, the other countries are going to catch us.
Got to be relentless. Spring Farm Crusher has come up with an answer to my goalkeeping woes as a water polo goalkeeper. And off the back of what you were saying.
Did you not get tired staying, just keeping afloat? Were you waiting for the ball?
No.
I actually commentated once a water polo game. Because you know Croatia's very
good.
Yeah,
Croatia's huge.
And my cousin is a goalkeeper. For Croatia, like right. Excellent goalkeeper.
So he's big fella, right?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. So go. I commentate, would you believe? Yeah.
Slight
so there
problem.
You go.
Slight problem.
But as so I was saying, like I said, didn't you get tired?
Yeah, you do the thing called the egg beater.
Yeah, I know. I've done that. I can only do that for about 14 seconds.
Right. So Spring Farm Crusher, off the back of your breakdown of what to look for, said, why didn't you stick your head underwater, Maddie, to see which way their feet were facing when they threw the ball? See, that's the kind of people we got here. Now, listen to this from GC. Bozza, for me, the biggest problem soccer or football has in Australia is that we're spoiled with all of the coverage of the best football from around the world. So then going to an actual A-League game isn't anywhere near the football played overseas, whereas going to an NRL game, for instance, you're watching the highest quality of rugby league
and
in the world.
And same with AFL. That's what I say all the time. It's a great strength. There's no doubt about that. And I think you're 100% right.
Yeah.
But make it inspire you. And like I said as well, for those who truly love football, not everyone, but for those who truly love football, you know, if you truly love football, you want to go to the nearest football place to watch a game. And that doesn't mean it has to be A-League. You might want to go to the state leagues, watch kids like I do. I know people haven't got the time, and sometimes even at the moment when things are, you know, things are a struggle for the majority of people in this country, that may not be possible. But I truly believe after speaking to so many people in the last couple of months because of the problems, that we've got to connect everyone and make them feel all a part of it so that any boy or girl in the whole of Australia can play for their local club. If they're good enough, not only will they get through themselves, or if their club is good enough, they can go all the way and play at the top. I think this boys' club mentality may be okay for other sports, but not for our sport. And when I mean that, I don't mean that disrespectfully. You know what I'm saying? Without the focus of saying to somebody, number one, if you're mediocre and you get relegated, goodbye. And to say to somebody else, if coming back to what I said to you before about the Sharks and you, and if you've done really well and you've won, why shouldn't you be able to go and play in the top league? Who are you to tell me I can't come and play in the top league?
It's interesting about what Glenn points out there about the best football from around the world and great coverage and all that kind of stuff versus our product, right? Now other sports have faced it. So NRL doesn't face it, AFL doesn't face it, but you think basketball, right? Basketball.
But our basketball, I would say, is a higher standard in terms of what we... but in terms of what we're ranked in comparison to the Socceroos, or would it be similar?
I'm talking NBL versus the other products that are available and the access that we've got. Now, that went through a dip. You go back to the days of Michael Jordan and his peak at the Chicago Bulls.
Three-peat.
At the same time, basketball in Australia was flying.
It was, remember?
It was flying.
Well, the Robleski brothers.
Mike was exactly. in charge of the Sydney Kings. So it was flying. It went through the dip, and now they've managed a way to come back again. So they've got a product that's domestically appealing to basketball fans with the full knowledge that the biggest pitcher of NBA is dominant and the best that you can find. So there is an opportunity, what I'm saying is, to work... You're not just blindsided because there are better leagues and better games at play. You make your product entertaining and available, and you build it, they will come.
And due to the great understanding that that we helped, I'm not saying we played a major, but we help begin between Venues New South Wales and New South Wales Police and the RBB, we've got wonderful events like the Sydney Derby. I think somebody said there was close to 30,000 there last week. So, you know, that's a wonderful thing to have. So you know, there's so many things that they could be proud of and to actually take advantage of without having to sort of the result. But like I said, let's simplify everything, okay? And this is somebody who likes to keep things simple, right? Make everyone feel involved. How do you do that? Come and talk to me. We haven't got time to talk about it here, but come and talk to me. And we're not doing Boz the Build on that one either, no.
Sell. We used to have a bloke in TV who used to say, promote, sell. You know why? You can't buy what you haven't been sold.
That's very true. But it's something you're selling has got to be, you know, it's like saying, listen, I'm wearing it, right? I'm eating it. I'm telling you, not like, yeah, all right, I want to sell something, but you know, well what about you, Boz? Yeah, well, it's not for me, but I'm selling. Yeah, straight away you go, well, if it's not for you, then it's not for me.
18 minutes to midday. Oh, this is fun. I love this hour. Back after this. Are you still on the campaign to get more time for this show?
I think a lot of people disagree with me. I can understand that. But I actually think I've, you know, shortened my answers to get straight to the point. Like, I'm going to get straight to the point now. I wanted to wish a very happy birthday to my 80th birthday to my father, who was 80 on Monday, the 15th of April, and to Craig Foster as well, who shares the same day. 15th. But I just found out as well, there's another gentleman who I know very well and respect and admire greatly, yourself, whose birthday
was
on the 16th. So happy birthday. And thank your daughter's mate. Is on the 26th of April.
Yes. So we've got three in April. We've got 7th, 16th and 26th.
Okay. Excellent. Yeah. Who's the 7th?
So young Mason.
Okay, yep. Excellent.
So she's had hers and I've had mine and then we've got one more.
So happy birthday to you all.
And happy birthday to your dad.
Yeah, and Max Rushton as well. I think his was today, 18th. Yes, there you go.
Bingo.
There you go.
It's a birthday.
April-a-thon. Yeah?
Tony says, Boz, City would have gone through if the away goal rule still existed. Real parked the bus the entire time. The away goal rule would have discouraged this. Why did UEFA even get rid of it?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why. Because originally when it was brought in, it was like, get this up, guys, I'm being quick here on Google, to see the term Cobra effect, right? I won't go into it, but you'll see what it means up on Google. It was brought in for good intentions because back in the day, a lot of people who travelled away from home would just completely park the bus.
Yep.
And they wouldn't come out. It would lead to boring games. So UEFA said, right, to make the away team a little bit more attacking, we're going to institute this thing called the away goal. The myth is that it's not worth double, but... like this situation, like this gentleman just pointed out, it works in your favour if you score more goals away from home. But what we got, especially for the last 15 to 20 years, was in the first leg, the home team being ultra defensive because they think we don't want to concede any away goals. Away team naturally going, well, we don't have to go make the play. So that was leading to first legs that were like, and now the first legs have been absolutely outstanding. And I hear what you're saying. Yes, they would have went through because they scored three away goals and Real Madrid only scored one. But Real Madrid in... pretty much would just pen back in by the awesome play, you have to say, in the second half, not so much the first half, by Manchester City. They couldn't finish them off. And that's the one great thing about our game, because I think in games like basketball, AFL definitely, maybe to a lesser extent rugby league, but sort of if you have that territory and dominance, it's very hard. I mean, how many sets of six really on your line can you, if in a rugby league? You could probably, if you, I mean, to be fair, St. George did an amazing amount against Manly that day, but generally, but whereas in our sport, you know, you can hit the bar. You get, a goalkeeper could be amazing. Your striker could be off. All of a sudden, you go back up the other end, you get a corner, you score a goal. So that adds to the, you could say, the evenness, but you saw. So I hear what you're saying, but I actually think it's made for much more entertaining games because they've taken it away, because people aren't fearful in the first league playing at home conceding goals.
It's also known as the perverse incentive. So the incentive designed to solve a problem ends up rewarding people for making it worse.
I like that one. Yeah.
You've just introduced me to that, the Cobber effect.
Yeah, the Cobber effect, yeah.
Yeah. 0457 736 736. Quick one from Dusty the Raider, who did fire in early.
Hey, Dusty.
Thoughts on Leeds United and their position at the moment?
Well, Leeds United, grand old club, very well supported here in Australia, as we saw when they toured here. What was it now? Like, you could say, well, I think it was 3 years ago. Very, very sad to see them not in the Premier League. They're still there. You know, they're still in the playoff position. They've got, what, now 43 games. So they've got 3 games to go. They are on 87 points, and they're only 2 points off the leaders, Ipswich. So still a massive opportunity, although you have to say second place Leicester have got a game in hand, but they're on 88. Massive opportunity to get automatic promotion. Barring that, they'll have to go into, which is always, I mean, it's mega exciting, but it's sort of nail-biting into the playoffs, and which becomes then the two semi-finals played, then the final becomes one of the richest games in world sport because of the money that's available to get in the Premier League. But I'm hoping, fingers crossed, even though growing up at Manchester United, you actually are taught pretty much to hate a certain amount of clubs, and Leeds were pretty high on the list. Goes back to the fact that Lancashire and Yorkshire actually had a war at one stage way back to where before... I won't even say when it was. We weren't even thought of. It was called the... I think that was the War of the Roses, that one.
Welcome to the club. Here's the other clubs that you're not allowed to talk about in any form whatsoever.
No, it wasn't that. It was like before we played against... It was basically like, you know who you're playing against today. Yeah, you know how much this means to the club.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. So you got the word.
The word, basically, yeah. Yeah. Or like...
The look.
If Fergie used to come down if we're playing Liverpool. I mean, there was one time we played Liverpool in November. It was one of the coldest days ever. I can't remember. I was like, this is ridiculous, yeah? And we're losing 1-0 at half time. And he came down and said, by the way, all these are going to be scattered around the whole of Europe on loan if you don't beat this lot in the second half. Anyway, we come back and won 5-1. So there you go. Kind of motivated us, yeah.
It's kind of what Hutchie's been saying around here. Yeah. Listen, ratings don't go up. You're going to be scattered. Yeah. I love that.
And by the way, do we own the Mavericks, netball?
We do.
So why do we have that lady? Was it Ali Smith?
Ali Smith.
What,
she was awesome.
Enemy, but.
No, I
enemy.
Pointed,
she plays for the enemy.
I
no.
pointed out when we were talking to the Swifts.
Yeah, no.
And we do that for Red Energy. Yeah. When we were talking to the Swifts, and she was awesome, I pointed out that we're going to have to navigate this. I'm interviewing you from a radio station that is owned by the same company that owns the opposition that you'll be playing.
Where's the Mavericks? Where are they based
Melbourne.
Out of? Right, okay, all right. It's going to be difficult because obviously it's difficult supporting teams that have come from Melbourne, but I'm sorry. Yeah, they are our company.
You. Mate, that's you are it. A company man.
That's it. West Sydney in the netball and is it the Swift them too? Sorry. If you want publicity, go somewhere else now.
We need to wrap
Unless
it up.
Unless you make sure that the Mavericks win the title, then we'll think about it.
We'll wrap it up after this. We've come to the end of the show. A couple of quick texts. Bozza is just the best. Pity we can't hear more of him. Great knowledge and very funny guy. Agree. I don't know how you sent that to me in the ad break, Bozza, but you did a good job. Ron Corrie, what a man. Here's one from JS. Did he ever do the fake penalty, Boz, when he pretends to adjust the ball, bends down and toe poke?
Yeah, but I read it. I knew it.
Shut a frame
I was
again.
I was only joking.
Hang on. If you didn't read it, then that's...
That was my old physio at Aston Villa used to say that to everyone because he actually played. He played for the great Derby side under the late, great Brian Clough. They won the English First Division. And he used to say that to everyone. He says, I made a mistake once, but then I got up and I slid back and I cleared it off the line. That's what he used to say. He used to go, okay. Couldn't say anything to him. He's a physio, so he had your future in his hands, so to speak. You know what I mean? Don't want to mess around with doctors or physios or people like that because
correct.
Next thing you know, you might be on the toilet all day.
All right, we are done. Now, you've got one job. You've got one job before you leave
go.
SEN. Take your makeup off.
Oh, right, I will.
Can you do
I will. And then I'll put that, I do use toner and moisturizer. I'll put that on for you as well.
Good. That's an old TV hack, just giving you a heads up there.
What's to watch out for this weekend?
Everything.
Right. FA Cup semi-finals as well, don't forget everyone.
We got to go. We'll do it again next week. Jimmy's coming
Take
up.
Take care, everyone.
Throw down with Mal.